Good morning. Good to be with everybody at the beginning of our service. Remarkable to hear that the bump that is Judith and Paul's grandchild has not yet arrived. Thanks for this one, Dave. It's a good one. Good morning from Dave and Jackie, and a happy naughty birthday to Jen today. Happy birthday to you, Jen. Good to see you out at 9 o'clock for that. Good morning to Ed. Good to have you welcoming back with us. Carol and David are here. Wendy and Paul. Roy, he's on the double. He was there this morning. Jill, all the way from Dover. Mark Curzon commenting, it's another beautiful day. It is another lovely day, isn't it? Well, it's good to have you all here. I will take that off the screen. So, welcome. Lovely to have you here, worshipping as we are, St. Matthew's Surbiton. Apparently, Heather's internet is down in Malawi. She says hi. That's from Leslie. So, yes, indeed. Hello to everybody. I am Helen Hancock. I'm team rector at St. Matthew's, and it's good to have you all here as we worship God together. We are going to start with some opening words of worship, and the ones that we've used a few times recently, I think they are great. The story is that the Archbishop says that these were used by people in a service he was in Africa, and he was amazed at their faith because they were able to say these words when they were awaiting COVID hitting them, and they had no ventilators in the whole of the country, and yet they still believe that God is good. So let's begin. All the time. Sorry, I've got it wrong. Ah, it doesn't work quite so well if you do it this way. Right, let's try again. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Once more. God is good all the time. All the time. God is good. Glad we managed that. So let's now sing. We are going to sing a familiar words with a slightly unfamiliar setting, but it's easy to pick up. So we're going to sing together, "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want."
His goodness restores my soul, and I will trust in you alone, and I will trust in you alone. For your endless mercy follows me, his goodness to me. He guides my ways in righteousness. They anoint my head with oil, and I come in overflows with joy. I feast on his beauty and I will trust in you. Trust in you, for your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will lead me home. And though I walk the darkest path, I will not fear the evil one. With me and your rod and staff, and the comfort I need to know. And I will trust in you, I know. And I will trust in you, I know. For your endless mercy follows me, your goodness will be.
Thank you. Thank you. A rather lower key beginning to our service, but none the worse for that. Those familiar words in a possibly unfamiliar setting, we must repeat them sometime. Our confession this morning, for a very good reason, which I'll explain in a bit, talks about language. I wonder if you speak a different language. Maybe you even think in a different language. We talk about languages. We talk about languages of love in relationships. And we certainly talk about God's language of love. So our confession this morning reflects that idea of languages of truth and love and renewal. So we'll have a few moments just to bring our minds to this time of confession, and then there will be some words coming up on the screen. So let us confess our sins to God. Let us pray. You speak to us in the language of love. Forgive us when we have taken that love for granted. You speak to us in the language of truth. Forgive us when we have been less than honest to you, to ourselves, and to others. You speak to us in the language of renewal. Forgive us when we have preferred our own ways. Let us hear your word afresh today and help us to speak your language once more. Amen. May the Father forgive us by the death of his Son and strengthen us to live in the power of the Spirit all our days. Amen. Now, the reason we were going to think about different languages was because we were expecting to have the next in our Why I Am a Christian series. I say were expecting because Vinnie Jacola, who some of you will know, had got his talk already and we'd agreed what to do it. And I'd spoke to him yesterday. And then I got a phone call from his wife yesterday saying that he had been taken into hospital. Something that's never happened in the entire history of Why I'm a Christian. And we will, of course, pray for Vinnie in a while. But it leaves an interesting gap to be filled this morning, because I think rather than speak Vinnie's words, which I don't think I could do justice to, I think it's better to either leave that till the end of the series or perhaps leave it until next year. So I could say to you, well, just, you know, talk amongst yourselves like some teachers were known to do. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do some other things instead. And the first thing I thought we'd do in this section is just have a little bit of a think about our survey. I'm really grateful to everybody who completed the survey about worshipping over the last few months. I don't know what the expected number of returns on a survey is. I think it's pretty low. It's probably less than 10% or something. But I'm delighted that we've got over 50 returns for our survey. So I'm very grateful to you. It's going to inform our thinking as a PCC as to what we want to do. But I thought it was this was literally a God-given opportunity to just share some of the findings with the whole church. So forgive me, I will just take you through some of the what we discovered. So 81% of people who filled in the survey didn't have children at home, either had adult children or didn't have children. So fewer people, to be honest, filled it out if they had children, but some did. So thank you to those. The next question you all kindly. Oh, by the way, I would just tell you that 50% were in age bracket between 51 and 70. And then the next age gap group, perhaps you won't be surprised here, about a quarter of people filled in the survey were 70 or over. So thank you to those, and particularly thank you to the younger people who did as well. What is your current situation? 50% of people said they were visiting shops. 40% said they were still staying home as much as possible. We have a few shielding and in the vulnerable status, and a few people on furlough or being made redundant. So let's remember them in our church community. Prior to lockdown, you were asked which service you attended, and in terms of the people who responded to the survey, two-thirds of the people attended 11 o'clock. If I then tell you that 50% attend 9:15, you'll think the maths is all wrong, but obviously some people do both. By far the most, well, yes, the most popular way of accessing online church has been the services, you won't be surprised. And in second, daily, actually in joint second place, daily worship and the kit groups. Two-thirds of people who respond to the survey say they have either been watching daily worship or been actively taking part in the kit groups, which is, it was great to hear. In terms of watching the Sunday service, huge, vast majority of people have watched it live. And I think we believe that having started this service live, it's been one of its absolute strengths of our church community to be able to see comments and to be everybody to feel we all know what we're doing together at the same time because we're all in church, I think has been a great strength of the technology and what we decided to do. Good numbers for attending daily worship. 17 people said they've attended daily worship every day. That is a great statistic and is a real challenge for me and the leadership team in thinking how what we're going to do and how we're going to continue that. If you haven't dipped into it, why not have a go? There's a link on the front of the website. On a scale of 1 to 5, how spiritually helpful and fulfilling do you find our online church services? People perhaps would... 44% gave us a 5 out of 5 for spiritually helpful and fulfilling. That was perhaps, I would have thought that was very generous of people. Thank you. The comments sort of explain that a bit more, and they're really useful to see. So thank you for filling in those. I think the main thing is that people felt that they were good as far as they could, but obviously in person is better, which I quite understand. On a scale of 1 to 5, how connected do you feel with the church family? 34% gave that a 4 out of 5. So I think that's, again, pretty good, down to people who have done the kit group facilitating. Thank you. Big thank you to those people who have done that. And then equal behind are the people who feel a bit less and a bit more connected. So, again, I think that's quite an encouraging part of the survey. Thank you. What do you feel about returning to worship in our church building? 65% said they can't wait to return. And that's certainly shown in the people who were at our service this morning. Interestingly, just under a quarter say they hope to return, but feel too uncertain or unsafe at present. I think that's a really interesting statistic we need to be very aware of at this time. Lots of ideas about practical steps. Hopefully, interesting when we saw the ideas that people wanted us to implement at church to feel safe. I can assure you that I think probably all of those, I hope most of them certainly, if not all, are already in place. Easier at the 9 o'clock service because it's quite it's a smaller service. I think we had about 34, something like that this morning. Should we retain an online element to church life and services in the long term? Just over 50% said yes. And 40% said maybe. So only a very few people said it was a temporary measure. No, we shouldn't be doing it. And for that reason, we have now got 2 cameras installed in church, and we're looking at how we're going to be live streaming services at the same time as them taking place in church. What other changes to church life should we make when the buildings are fully back to use? Some great ideas, particularly around wanting that some of this technology has really helped our vision of 7 whole days, being Christian 7 whole days a week. Hasn't really helped being the building being used 7 whole days a week. But and one is suggesting the continuation of the kit groups as everyone who wants to feel they really belong. It's interesting that kit group model was the model of pastoral support and care I wanted to bring in, and COVID-19 forced our hand to do it quicker than I might have managed. But I think it certainly is the model of pastoral care I want to move to, and we'll be speaking about that, thinking about that in the coming weeks. Fewer responses on the question about bringing children's groups back in September. About two-thirds people said yes, they'd be happy to send their children to children's groups once we get services back in the building. Oh, but that's obviously a big if. Other ideas which we'll sort of have a look at and try and take up about meeting socially. We're going to have a quiz night that's being organized. We've got a picnic in the church grounds on Wednesday, a bit more of that in a while. So anyway, that's some ideas about our survey. A big thank you to all of those who filled it in. And we can think more about that in the coming weeks. We're going to do our action song now. And it's one which is always a little bit exhausting because it's I love you, Jesus, deep down in my heart. So on your feet, and it's you have to keep bending and touching your knees and then the floor and knees and floor and knees and floor. So you'll see me ducking out of view, but it's because I'm doing it properly, I promise. Glad we did that one. Let me just, sorry, turn the page. I can't do it all at once. We are going to come now to the opportunity to say a creed together. As I've often explained, we tend at 11 o'clock to do creeds, vary them a little bit to bring out different truths of what we want to express. So this is indeed a quite different one. So we'll take it quite slowly so we can just hear the words as we go. We are held in the hollow of God's hand, loved children of the universe, born from the life which flows from God, freed to the fullness of God's creation with all its beauty and variety. We are all worth dying for in Christ Jesus, all called to risen life in Christ's rising. The way of Jesus gives us footprints for our following, and all our trials and longings are known in the frailty of his walking with us. We are called to new things in the Spirit, in the hope that stirs in unlikely moments, the home we find in the wasteland of our wanderings, the warmth that we touch in the coldness of our need, and the opening of our hearts to adventures in belonging or the gathering in of those without a home. Amen. Quite a lot of words in that creed. I will put it on our website under the COVID page. So if you want to, you can go back to it and hear some new truths in it. We're not having the reading that Vinny chose because that was Vinny's choice, but we are going to hear now the reading, which is the lectionary reading for today, which we've already considered at 9 o'clock and which Simon is now going to read for us.
The reading is from Matthew chapter 14, Jesus walks on the water, starting verse 22. Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking towards them on the lake, But when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So, what are we going to make of this passage? We heard it, as I say, at 9 o'clock, and we used it as the opportunity to practice something called Lectio Divina, holy reading. And if you want to know more about that, you can look it up or send me an email and I'll tell you more. I think it was valued by those who were at the service at 9 o'clock, but I want to look at this in a different light today. So picture the scene. It starts in the same way as the story we heard last week, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus went up to the mountainside to pray. He got away from everybody, wanted time and space. Perhaps that's something that the only message we need to hear from this Bible reading today is that sometimes when life is busy, when it's all too much, we need to take ourselves away and pray and have some space. But I think that shouldn't probably be the only message I want to give you from this passage. So, here, sorry, it's all a bit on the hoof this morning. So we have the story, Jesus up the mountainside, fishermen go off in their boat, presumably to catch their fish, keep their livelihood going. The storm comes up, we all know, on the Sea of Galilee. That happens because of the geographical, topographical nature of the area. Storms can rise up very quickly. And all of a sudden, the disciples on the boat, the fishermen, see Jesus walking on water towards them. They think it's a ghost. They think it's a phantom. They could maybe think it's a manifestation of Satan in front of them. And they're frightened, and Jesus reassures them immediately, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter challenges or wants to test him, saying, "Lord, if it really is you, tell me to come to you on the water, come to you on the water." And he does. Peter loses his nerve, but Jesus saves him, but also rebukes him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" And at the end of the story, one of those reassuring acknowledgements by the disciples that what's happened has proved that truly Jesus was the Son of God. Just have a think about the picture. The sea is not like the sea that we've seen in Brighton or on these beaches. Swarms of people, bright sunshine, calm as a mill pond. It's a storm of waves and, chaos and movement and whatever. And I want us to think of this story as a bit of a metaphor of where we are at the moment. Think of the boat, if you would, as the whole world, and or us in the boat as the whole world. We are all struggling against forces which are greater than us. We are struggling in the force of this pandemic, and it appears that the professional expertise, I mean, the disciples were well, they were good sailors, they were fishermen, they knew what they were doing. We, with all our experience, with our scientists, with our politicians, with everybody, we are battling against forces at the moment, and we're not sure how well we're doing. The pandemic has really brought us up short, hasn't it? It's reminded us that we've got amazing expertise and skills in some things, but when it comes down to it, this tiny, tiny, invisible virus sometimes at points has seemed to get the better of us. That's a picture that we might hold in our heads. Or let's hold another picture, a boat being about us as Christians. We're in this boat together, and we feel that we're failing. We're overwhelmed by waves and by the wind. And our faith seesaws. Sometimes we feel like we're on fire and we're okay. And then other times we doubt. We're like Peter in the boat. We're not sure what we're doing. And we feel that we don't have enough faith. Or for a different picture of a boat, particularly this week, think of this picture. Don't know why that's not coming up better. Anyway, have a look at the picture, all blued out if you can. A picture of some refugees coming across the channel this week, coming across the channel because the sea has been very calm. But think of what's happening to them, the trust and the faith they're putting wrongly in the hands of people who've said they will be rescued and find a new life here. But the big question maybe for us with this picture in our mind is, are we reaching out to these people in the way that Jesus reached out to Peter? So we've got these three pictures, the story speaking to us about our position in the pandemic, the story speaking to us about Christians wondering whether we've got enough faith to do what we need to do, what we're called to do. And also as Christians being challenged by this picture of the refugees in the boat, and are we reaching out to them? We'll have a bit more of a think about those pictures and how else we might look at this story in a while. But let's take it off and just come to a few notices. I think that's what's next. As I said, it's all a bit seat of the pants job this morning. So let us pick up this picture, which reminds you, I don't know why we've got this blue filter on this morning. Does it come? It's coming on every picture. I don't understand that. Anyway, it doesn't really matter, does it? Let's put it back again. You can read it through the blue. This is St. Matthew's Church. I'm Helen Hancock. It's good to see you. It was great that we had surveys filled out by a couple of people who have joined us since we've been online. If you are, do get in touch with me. It would be good to make contact with you properly and have a look at our website. Those are all our details. In terms of the notices, I wanted to just mention to you that our church will be open 10 till 12 this Wednesday for prayer. And we will have a service, a prayer during the day at 11:45. And followed that, we'll have a very short organ recital by Hazel. And then we're inviting or suggesting, if you want to bring a picnic, come into the church garden and spend some time having a socially distanced picnic. Please do bring all that you need for picnic, as in food and drink. We won't use the kitchen at all. That's out of bounds. Toilets will be available. And we can use some chairs so we can make sure people are appropriately distanced. But if you'd like to come and join us, either for the service and or the organ recital and or the picnic or just the picnic or whatever, please do. The service is 11:45. On Wednesday. That's one notice. The other notice to give you is the really sad news. I think many of you will actually have already heard that Michael Kennett died last Sunday. He's had a long battle with cancer, but in the end, his end was surprisingly sudden, but very peaceful. And our thoughts and prayers are very much with Leslie and the wider family. His funeral has now been fixed for Friday, the 28th of August. It may sound rather strange to you, but the funeral service, which is going to be held in church, is effectively by invitation only. We definitely couldn't accommodate all the people who'd want to be there to say their farewell and their thank you to Michael and to acknowledge him and worship God with Michael there. So what we are going to do is we are going to be able to live stream that service. It's 11 o'clock. So as I said, if you haven't received an invitation or had a word with Leslie, then please do decide that the best way for you to join in that service will be by live streaming. We'll send more details through near the time. Those were, I think, all the notices. So we will move on, and we will move back to our story of what's sometimes called Peter walks on water. And I guess if I'd said to you, oh, which Bible reading did you hear in church this morning? You may think, or you may have said, oh, it was the one where Peter tries to walk on water. And I think that's what we naturally remember about that story. It was Peter, and we sort of admire him for trying, for being brave enough, for wanting to. And then we see him failing. And perhaps we think, well, you know, he's only human, or perhaps we really identify with him and understand that he did his best. And after all, isn't it better to attempt and perhaps fail than not to have tried at all? And we quite like his go-getting determination. And we acknowledge that we, like him, often don't manage to deliver on things. But what I want to do, as I said, we have that picture. That's us as sort of Christians in the boat, trying to do what we can, but really suffering the world being the storm, the waves that sort of overpower us. And we're trying to hold on to Jesus, but we don't always manage it. And that's sort of quite disappointing and quite a sort of, I think, a negative way of looking at that story. Said the other way of looking at the story is seeing the boat as the whole world, and how the pandemic has been the storm that we're all in, and that what we need to be doing is seeing Jesus in this story and what he does. Or, as I said, that last picture of the boat, the refuge boat being the refugee boat, and what we do in terms of a welcome. But what I want you to do is now think of that story again and think about where Jesus was. At the beginning of the story, we said he was up on a mountainside and he was praying. And then some hours later, the fishermen see Jesus in the middle of the lake, think they see him, not sure. They think he must be a ghost. And I think what is great about the story is Peter dared to believe that God was with them in the storm. He knew that he should be up on the mountainside still, that there's no way he could possibly be on the water. And he knew there was no way physically that, you know, a person can walk on water. But he had the faith that Jesus was there with him. And that's what I'd like us to take from this story today. And that's why I want to show you, this picture, which is a great picture, unless it's got a blue filter on it. But hopefully you can still see it enough. You can see the disciples in the boat behind, and then this wonderful, strong image of two hands grasping each other. It's by one of my favorite artists, Sigur Kodra. I've shown you pictures before. So this story, let's not think about it as a story of that Christians should be able to walk on water. After all, St. Paul didn't think when he was in a storm, oh, if I'm a good enough Christian, if I have enough faith, I will be able to walk on the water and get out of this shipwreck. He didn't think that. That's not what the story is saying. It's not saying if you've got enough faith, you'll be able to do amazing things that defy the physics and physics of our world, that the warp and the weft, if you like, of ordinary life still applies. But in that, Peter dared to believe that God was in the storm with them, when his experience was that couldn't be. And Jesus was made real in that moment, in the community of faith. And that's what happens today. We can dare to see that Jesus is on the water with us. We can dare to see that he is in the middle of this coronavirus pandemic. We can dare to see that as Christians, he is there with us. Yes, with words of encouragement. Yes, with words of rebuke. But words of rebuke which are said in love, which say to us, I am here. I am with you. He said, you of little faith, why did you doubt? I am here. It was me that you saw. I am always here. When you're in trouble, you will see me. So that's the message I want us to take from that story. Jesus is here in the middle of the storm, in the middle of the pandemic. He is here. He is here as Christians when we're in a world that seems difficult and we feel tossed and turned. We can see Jesus. And as a result, when we think about that refugee boat, we need to reach out a hand of welcome and help to those who need God's love and his message of welcome to them. Amen. Let us turn now to prayer. So let us pray. Almighty God, we think back to that story of Jesus coming to the disciples struggling, trying to do their best, and Peter daring to believe that Jesus was there amongst them. Almighty God, we look at our world, we listen to the news, and it is so easy to be overwhelmed by wave after wave of tragedy, of disappointment, of pain and prejudice and suffering. We feel so storm-tossed by fake news and statistics and data and ever more information and in decreasing wisdom. Almighty God, help us to see you in the midst of this storm. Help us to reach out to you so that you can grasp us in your arms, that you can take our hand. Help us to be comforted and strengthened by that picture. And help us in turn to offer our hand of welcome and support and guidance to others. We pray for refugees across the world. We pray for the refugees risking all to cross the channel. We pray for the countries from which they are escaping. We especially ask for your Holy Spirit to move in those countries, to change balances of power, to change the authorities and powers of the country. We pray for improved conditions for those in refugee camps, and thank you for aid agencies who are continuing to provide aid. Move our hearts, we pray, to be more generous to donate to the cause. In this situation, help each one of us to raise our view from the storms, to focus on you. As bringing light and peace and hope. And this morning we particularly pray for the people of Lebanon, where it seems there is so little hope and light at this time. We ask for comfort for all who are distressed and anxious. We ask you to protect the emergency services and individuals who are seeking to help relief efforts. We pray that the injured will be restored to health, and we ask you to be with all those who mourn, especially those who are missing loved ones. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray for the people of Lebanon today. Amen. Then, Almighty God, we want to remember those who are in their own individual boat of storm and tempest, those who are struggling with mental health issues, with concerns about financial future. We pray that they will dare to believe that you are on the water with them and that they can reach out and find your comfort. Perhaps in this quiet, we think of one particular person, it may be ourselves, who we want to lift up to God. We pray for all those in hospital, and particularly today, remember Vinny, and ask for your healing comfort for him, for the doctors to be able to help him with his condition. And we pray too for his wife, Helen, celebrating her birthday today, and ask for your blessing on this young couple. We say together the collect for this week. Gracious Father, revive your church in our day and make her holy, strong, and faithful. For your glory's sake, in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. I should have mentioned that, as usual, a service of Holy Communion will follow this service. We'll have a little bit of music, actually a song chosen by Vinny to hear. We'll have that in his honour. And then we will have our service of Holy Communion. I'm delighted to see from the comments that no one else has a blue filter, just me. Also delighted that the bells were coming out loud and clear from church this morning. Lovely message from Leslie. I'll just highlight this service has been incredible and so valuable to many of us. Thank you, Leslie. We've got greetings from Celsey. We have greetings from Nuneaton and lots of people joining in from all over. Good to see you all. If you do have a holiday postcard, if you've been somewhere or done something that you'd like to let the whole church know about, do send me a short video or pictures this week and we can have another holiday postcard in our service next week. Otherwise, we will sing our final song, which happens to be Give Me Love in My Heart. So let's sing this together. Thank you. our final prayer of blessing. Now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon you and those for whom you pray, now and forevermore. Amen. Go well. Have a good week. God bless. Bye-bye.
God is my shepherd. I won't be wanting. I won't be wanting. He makes me rest in fields of green with quiet streams. Even though I walk through the valley of death and dying, I will not fear, 'cause you are with me, you are with me. The shepherd's staff comforts me, you are my feet in the presence of enemies. Surely goodness will follow me, follow me in the house of God forever.
Well, welcome back to our service of Holy Communion. We say the peace. God is love, and those who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also
with you. We offer peace to one another, maybe a wave at the screen, or possibly a gesture of peace to those in our household. And so we continue. The Lord is here. His spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Almighty God, good Father to us all, your face is turned towards your world. In love, you gave us Jesus, your Son, to rescue us from sin and death. Your word goes out to call us home to the city where angels sing your praise. We join with them in heaven's song. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. The crowds came out to see your son, yet at the end they turned on him. On the night he was betrayed, he came to table with his friends to celebrate the freedom of your people. This is his story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Jesus blessed you, Father, for the food. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body given for you all." Jesus then gave thanks for the wine. He took the cup, gave it and said, "This is my blood shed for you all for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." This is his story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Therefore, Father, with this bread and this cup, we celebrate the cross on which he died to set us free. Defying death, he rose again and is alive with you to plead for us and all the world. This is our story. This is our song. Hosanna in the highest. Send your spirit on us now, that by these gifts we may feed on Christ with opened eyes and hearts on fire. May we and all who share this food, together or spiritually in our own homes, offer ourselves to live for you and be welcomed at your feast in heaven, where all creation worships you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Alleluia. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia. We say together the prayer of spiritual reception. Come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and send your Holy Spirit that I may be filled with your presence. As the hem of your garment touched in faith healed the woman in the gospel, so may I be healed. Although I cannot receive you in the sacrament, I can, through this offering of my prayer, receive you in my heart. Grant this for Christ's sake. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. The body of Christ.
Amen. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. The blood of Christ.
Amen. We say this prayer together. Eternal God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, grant us to walk in his way, to rejoice in his truth, and to share his risen life, who is alive and reigns, now and forever. Amen. And now, as we come to the end of our service, we share the grace with one another. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, Amen. Thank you.